And I want to examine that manager program, because here's what most people do for management. They react in the moment that their dog is reacting. But the thing I find almost everybody doesn't do is ever practice that when they don't need it. So you break those things out when your dog is reacting, when your dog is carrying on, when your dog is in trouble, and you try to help them and move on. But how often have you done any of those exact same things when your dog was perfectly fine on the walk? I can tell you that you're not.
Welcome to the Doggy Dojo Show. My name is Trevor Smith. And has your dog ever reacted in a way that's fearful or aggressive behaviorally towards another dog or person? Or have you ever just had at a loss of your dog's behavior? Well, today we're bringing in an expert to help answer your questions when it comes to your dog's reactivity behavior. And we're going to dive deep into some of your questions directly, because this is a live stream and you guys can comment down below any questions that you might have. I see that we already have some people in here. Sandy Lynn's in the house and Caitlin Bird, thank you for joining us today. And as you comment down below, let us know where you're from. We love to hear people from all over the world that are here today. This is a wonderful group here in Modern Dog Training that has people from all over the world and here on Doggy Dojo. So I'm so thankful for everybody that is joining in, and make sure to get those questions in down below so that we can answer your questions and help you with any problems that you may have with your dog. But without further ado, I have our special guest here today, Amy Cook. Amy has been working with behavior work and she does all sorts of different types of training. She also works in rally and obedience, and she's a fantastic dog trainer. I also know her as a personal friend from APDT. She's a fantastic person.
And a long time ago, Trevor.
I know. So without further ado, let me go ahead and introduce Amy. You know, we've known each other for at least probably 8 years. Wow. At least. Yeah. So it's been.
I've lost track of how old you are now, but you were not an adult human when we met.
I know. Cause like when I was going to APT, I was like, I was 20 and now I'm 30. So, so it's been 10 plus years. So
too far back. But either way, time flies, doesn't it? Yeah. Thanks for having me on. This is really fun. I love being able to talk to people directly. I love, you know, that today's world gives us free access to just conversing right away with people. You can just get your questions answered. It was never like that when I was learning dog training, or when you were.
Right? And you had to get the books. You had to, study. Dust off anything that you needed to.
and do your best. Hope that it is like the book, and then you have a question, and there's a trainer who didn't read the book to answer. So I'm really, I'm glad you're putting this on, that you're doing that, putting this in the world.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I do a lot of reactivity in my work, and I teach at Fenzi Dog Sports Academy. You can get there at FenziDogSportsAcademy.com. And I teach a number of different classes there. But the one that's running right now is one called Management for Reactive Dogs. It just started it like yesterday. So, anyone can feel free to join. And I wrote that class because it, over time became clear to me that, first of all, reactivity is an incredibly common problem, and it doesn't have a really good definition. Everyone asks me, "Oh, my dog's only reactive. I think he's not aggressive," I hear people asking for distinctions like that all the time, and I don't know if I can really help, because really we don't know what's going on inside of a dog. Reactivity to me is a dog who. It's not even necessarily a dictionary definition of it, right? But when people are coming to me and coming to you to get help for it, they're saying, my dog is barking at stuff when we're outside, right? That's generally what they mean, barking at, lunging at on leash, and showing a reaction to things outside that they shouldn't, or that's too big of a reaction. It may indeed be separate from aggression. For example, a dog can be leash reactive to other dogs, but then when off leash, absolutely love other dogs. And so is that aggression. I try not to get too hung up on what we call everything, and deal with actually what behaviors we have, what behaviors we want to change, best to go simple with it than to try to sit and analyze everything that could possibly be. So,
So yeah, used as a puppy and going all this stuff and making up all these stories of our dogs, and their past story is not what matters as much as what's currently happening, what we're going to be doing for their future.
It's true. And while a past story may indeed inform you as to how you got here or why you're here, We just as often don't have that story. I just picked the dog up from the shelter, or I just walked into your house and we're just going to deal with the dog I see today. And that's really okay, because behavior changes very quickly. And the why that we think we know is so often not the why that really is. And it doesn't change what I'm going to do anyway. So let's, we can put that to the side a bit. But as far as management goes, I made this a separate class because I find that what people think of when they think of management, if I say, oh, you need a management system, and some people will tell me, oh, I already got one. I actually want to, I want to get to the training, the therapy part of this. And I want to examine that management program, because here's what most people do for management. They react in the moment that their dog is reacting with some technique they've learned, and perhaps it's a good one. Perhaps it's not a particularly good one. I don't really like having dogs sit instead of reacting. It's not my favorite. But people may do that, or they may do other things like feed and walk on. But the thing I find almost everybody doesn't do is ever practice that when they don't need it. So you break those things out when your dog is reacting, when your dog is carrying on, when your dog is in trouble, and you try to help them and move on. But how often have you done any of those exact same things when your dog was perfectly fine on the walk? I can tell you that you're not. Nobody is, right? The class, the aim for the class was, I'm going to help you for 6 weeks practice everything your dog needs to see when he's going to be managed, when he's, unable to do his training for himself and stick with you. If you're going to jump in and do the management, it should not be a new picture for your dog. And it should not be a picture he only sees when he's in trouble, right? See this all the time. And that makes it really fun and therefore much more powerful to when you do need it, because you've practiced it, 10 times for every one time you needed it. So,
I remember when I took the course, it was so great. And like, I loved watching every video, because you have so many videos of like the different behaviors. And my favorite video, one of my favorite ones, is when the child comes along, like the family of with like the line of the whole family coming along. And it was totally unexpected. And your dog was like, nailed it, boop, did it, and did exactly the behaviors you practiced over and over again in the videos. And it kind of gave proof of the pudding. And just by the way, though, guys, she's mentioned that this course is happening right now. And I don't want to make this sound like it's sales or anything like that, but if you do want to know more information about Amy or her courses, you can actually just comment down below Amy and I'll send you guys all the information you need. So just comment below Amy and I'll send it to you guys, this course. But it was, it's so true, though. People do react in the moment, and people are like thinking like they're walking along as normal with their dog. And the only time they try to manage their dog's reactivity is when the dog's actually being reactive. And then at that point, your dog's like, brain is squished to this little size pea. And it's like totally, not really, but just like mental capacity and the emotions are so charged that they're just so, the adrenaline is hit that they just can't hear it. It's, to put it in perspective, I said, it's like sometimes we've ever been in those moments where you're watching a TV show or reading a book or doing something and someone's trying to talk to you and you don't hear them. You're so busy. So same thing with the dog, when they're not necessarily trying to be disobedient in that moment. They're just their brain and their concerns and their everything that tells them that what they need to do right now is not listen to you, but to focus on what's coming towards them.
What's much more important. Right. I think of management as what you're going to do when your dog's training will not suffice. So it might be, that my dog walks next to me very well, or not, but let's just say that one does, walks nicely, walks on the leash very well, because you've trained it. And then something's changed in the environment that's having them be very challenged to do this behavior and come along with you when you want to change directions and go. Well, he can't do his training because he's otherwise mentally occupied, and him performing those tasks is gone. And I think of management as, the distinction is, you take over now. You make this happen. And by make, I don't mean anything nefarious. I mean, you assume your dog cannot do this. You say, come on, Fido, let's go. Come on, let's not do that. Come on, no, Fido, let's go. And he can't do it, but he otherwise could do it. And now you feel, oh gosh, why isn't he doing it? That's not the time for you to negotiate. It's the time for you to say, he can't do these things. So we're going to flip into management. And so It means you're taking over the bus. Like, you know, let's pretend it's you're teaching, you know, a kid to drive. I don't even know if they have these kind of cars in real life, because I didn't learn this way. But, you know, if the driver's seat has, you know, brake, gas pedal, and a steering wheel, and then the passenger side does too, so that the teacher could take over if all of a sudden the student can't do it anymore, right? I want the teacher to have the brakes and the steering too.
Right.
That may not really exist. It's a mental picture I keep.
My driving instructor at least had brakes. I remember that.
Okay. Yeah, okay, right? It's like, I'm going to stop us right now because you know, this new driver.
He did it the first time, but then he did the second time. So it got me a little bit worried about how I did the first time.
And so I think of it as like, you know, I'm going to let you do this if you can do this. But the stakes are high. And if you can't do this right now, if you're telling me that, you know, you got very confused, or you got very emotional, or you lost your concentration and you can't do it, don't worry, I will keep us safe. I will make us steer out of the path of the oncoming car or dog. So all the skills that I teach in the class, or to my private clients or anybody, are skills that involve you creating the behavior you want and not really relying on the dog responding well. Like, there's no clicker training in it. There's no I cue you do it, I reward. Because if that were going to work, you wouldn't need me. That was going to work already anyway. And you'd be training successfully and you would be fine. You'd be moving on.
Right.
It's because your dog can't follow what you're asking that you're seeking help, that you need, that you're in trouble. So all the things I teach are, I've put a cookie in front of your face. Can you eat it and follow my hand along while you're still eating? That's a very simple behavior for a dog. It's not look at me and I'll give you a cookie. It's here, eat while we walk. Very much simpler. And they can accomplish it more. But even though I'm saying it's really simple, it's still something you got to practice, because dogs are like, yeah, I can eat your cookie later, I want to bark. So it's a combination of practicing what you're doing, but really taking over and saying, we're going to go walk this way. Here's your cookies, come along with me. It's not negotiating and look at me, good boy, sit while the whole, you know, world is breaking loose for your dog. You're setting yourself up to fail if you don't make it really easy for your dog to do.
And it seems like you're almost trying to help the dog kind of build some basic reasoning skills. Like this is like in the moment, like what I need to do. And I think like also too, you know, sometimes when we prepare we're trying to right before a piano recital or football game, or like for me, for dog agility, like I'm walking the course for 8 minutes and then I run it for a minute. Like when the adrenaline hits, there has to be some sort of practice or routine that has happened before that adrenaline hits for me to be more successful. And I think that's where we lie with dogs, is that when your reactive dog is struggling to focus, if they've had no practice on what you want them to do instead and how you want them to respond to that stimulus, then it makes it incredibly more difficult to get that response.
Yes. I'd like you to come along with me. But if coming along with me in our stylized way is something we don't do every day, all the time, then what are the chances I'm going to get it under load and under pressure? You know, agility is a great example. If you don't practice front crosses really well, your feet you're going to be thinking about them too much when you're trying to, you know, you can't do all things at once. So I simplify the program for the dogs and say, I'm not going to rely on you performing a really difficult cued behavior, like get in heel position or even sit, which is hard when you're under load and don't want to sit. Come along with me, hand touch real quick, do these special find its that I have. Not special. They're just, you know, a slight twist on the old on standby. And we practice them all the time. I say 9 times for every time you use it, if you need it for real. I prefer you did 99 times for every one time you had to use it. I don't care how many times you do it before you have to use it, but it should be a lot. When I go out on a walk with a dog, every block, I'm pretending I had to manage something. Twice on a block, if it's a long block, I'll say, hey, from this bumper to that tree over there, I'm going to pretend that something happened in the world that maybe have to manage my dog and not rely on her own behavior to be successful. And I'll get to that bumper while we're walking and I'll instantly be like, oh gosh, manage, all the way until that tree that I decided was the end of management. Right. In real life, it might've been that a dog, you know, popped out of a car and then went into their house, right, with their owner. It could have been that that's what it was, but it wasn't there for my dog. My dog's like, there's nothing. We're just playing this fun game. Cool. Cause she doesn't have anything that she has to worry about. I want her to think that all my fun games are just these doodly things we do on walks for no reason whatsoever. And every once in a while we do them and there's a dog around. But right. that's not what we're doing. It's just sometimes right. it happens that way, right? But
well, and that's so important because I find that's the other pitfall is that if you only start to say your dog's name or tighten the leash or do these things that trigger the dog's response, because the fact is that they don't see you do acting that way. You're not breathing more heavily. You're not saying their name in a worried voice. You're not doing all these things
right.
normally, unless that dog is walking down the street again and I have to do something to stop it, like, or right. react to it, you know? So then those become triggers. So like you're saying, you don't like people to use necessarily, you're not a big fan of this, you know, don't like people using this, but you're not a fan of sit. And, you know, if you're only asking your dog to sit when something that they usually react to or is passing by, when you say the word sit, your dog's going to go, where's that? Where's the dog?
Why are you getting so nervous? Why do I have to sit now? And right. you know, as we progress in the class, what I do, you know, once the dogs look like, you know, they're following well with the management procedures and people are doing really great and all this, I start having people pretend they're looking around. So I'll tell you, if you're trying to, you know, lure walk a dog, you've got a dog on a magnet cookie, or maybe you're backing up and you're pulling the dog into you with cookies. If you look at the dog, they're totally into it because you're in training mode. If you right. try to do that and start going like this, if you do that, your dog will break away from your hand and start right. looking at what you're doing.
Right.
And so you can't afford that. You need to show them that you might do this and still want them on the lure and still in. So I want them to think that your games are just these dumb things you do. I want there people.
Mom's crazy head again.
I want you to be pulling in your dog and having active feeding while you say things like, could you call your dog, please? Call your dog, please.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. I don't want that. And then when your dog falls for it and looks around, they go, oh, there's nothing here. Are you just rehearsing or whatever? Play? What are you doing?
Right.
They see you act that way really routinely. Right. They don't find it so strange. And they can stay on the cookie that you desperately need them to stay on while you figure out what to do in real life. The more you act like you're in trouble, the more your dog goes, oh, please. Like right now, I'm yelling for no reason. I'm being animated and I'm yelling. And so my dogs are all around me just going, yeah, she yells. That's what she did.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one in the background right now. And like, oh, there goes mom again yelling.
She's yelling. Right. I want your dogs.
I never thought about that thing you said about practicing what you would say to people also, like practicing your demeanor. Like I've always thought about practicing what the dog has to do, but man, I never thought about practicing what you have to do. And
there are things you have to do too. Like you might have to say to somebody, hey, call your dog, or hey, no, thank you. I don't want to be greeted today. But you also need to know where your escape route is, because you're walking down the street this way, face the camera, and a dog shows up here and starts coming this direction. Well, is it safe for you to go backwards? Hard to say. Maybe there were dogs back there. Maybe there were things back there. Maybe there's a corner back there. Maybe right. you want to cross the street instead. And so, you know, it's not the idea is that you're constantly vigilant about it, but were something to come up, you get your dog first off and get him on the lure that you've practiced a lot and your dog's totally into it. And you instantly start scanning for, oh, that's my escape route. I'm going that way. I'm going across the street and getting over there to that block or behind that car or something. You need to have a chance to look around and not think you're then going to lose your dog while you do that, because it's in that moment that your dog breaks from you and gets to the end of the leash and yells at something. Knowing where you're going to walk and having your dog be like, whatever, take me wherever we're going, I don't care, is a real comforting piece when you know you can do that and you can get to a different place on the street and avoid this problem. You will be a calmer person to walk with.
Right. And I think it's also true too, because it's like when you practice those routines, it helps the dog get into rhythm. Like, okay, here's the whole crazy mom routine, but also like, right. it also helps you relax. Like you're saying, like when you have practiced those maneuvers over and over again, you're not having to like go into that frozen time moment and go, oh my gosh, there's a dog approaching 20 feet away. Do I turn left? Do I turn back? Do I turn right? You know, you don't have to like go into this whole panic mode that, you know, boom, I'm going to go turn around.
I was going to go behind me, you know? It's like when you're driving, if you're driving on a freeway, you know that if somebody, this person who's on the right of you starts to swerve in, you're watching them, you're not sure if they're going to swerve in or not. You know that if you had to, you could dart left because you've been checking the left lane next to you. You just kind of do that. You know where it's safe to go. You don't do that when you're walking a dog. You just walk a dog. You're walking along, you know?
Right.
It doesn't mean be hypervigilant, but it means show your dog what it looks like when you start looking around for your next move and have them think, yeah, that's nothing. It's nothing. It doesn't concern me. I've got cookies to eat. That's what I want them thinking is I've got some cookies to eat. We'll go wherever it is we're going. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to tackle, but thank you for coming on here, by the way. And guys, thank you for your comments down below. And also feel free to ask questions because, make sure that answering your questions live here on the show. And even if you want to, if you're watching this on replay, because I know a lot of you guys are too, go ahead and put those questions down below too. We can try to answer them for you offline as well. So, one of the things that what you said earlier about the telling people no, stay back, get your dog kind of scenario, those moments. Like, how do you handle those moments where the unpredictable happens, whether it's a dog off leash coming to you or, someone wants to say hi to the dog? I feel like a lot of people just freeze. A lot of people just don't know what to do and they allow things to happen that shouldn't be allowed. And they don't want to seem like this mean person that's right. telling people and their dogs to go away. But, right. What's the reality of that? Like, why is it so important for people to stand up and advocate for their dogs?
Advocate for your dog. I think possibly the sample lecture on this class that you can access for free might be your dog's advocate. I feel strongly about that. I was socialized a woman in this world, and it took me a long time to get comfortable with telling other people not to come near my dog or to stand up for things. And I know that's everybody's personal journey and everybody has a different story around how they feel about it and how they're reacted to. But at the end of the day, I am the only person who my dog can look to for their safety, emotional safety included, whether we're talking about an attack coming or not. We're talking about probably the everyday stuff where people just blow through their boundaries and say hi. There are more effective and less effective ways of doing it, certainly. And certainly the angrier you are, maybe the less effective. People go, geez, I was just coming to say hi. Gosh. But I'm not above doing that if someone's not listening to my first indications.
Right.
What I suggest people focus on first or foremost is getting the distance you need. It doesn't matter if somebody else agrees to it. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to stop and negotiate that will happen before you get to have it. What I do is immediately start moving into all of the going away procedures while I'm talking about things. So it might be that, someone says, oh, can my dog say hi? Straining at the end of a leash. And I will gather my dog instantly. And we are walking away as I over my shoulder. Oh, no, thank you. Oh, sorry. We're in training. And I just, whatever nice thing I'm going to say, because I just feel some need to kind of say a nice thing. It's not everybody's burden. I know some people are like, man, no, thanks. It's not me. But I'm leaving the whole time I'm saying, we're in training. Nope. No, thank you. Not today. And I'm already 10, 15, 20 feet away by the time I've answered the question. What I don't want to do is stand there and negotiate and be like, no, not today. She doesn't really like that. And I wish you would not. And here I am standing still trying to get that done while the person's coming closer saying, what? My dog's friendly. I immediately just try to leave.
Right.
And leave while being nice, but leave.
Right.
But you did also mention off-leash dogs, and that's a much more difficult problem, right?
I know. I said that, and I was like, oh, I don't know if she can answer that.
I can say a few things, but I mean, we're, all bets are off and off.
Right.
We have a dog come at us, and we have to make the best of it, the best of what we see, and protect our dogs as best we can. I have a little. I pick her up. I teach her how to be picked up in an emergency all the time. I teach her all the ways she's going to be picked up and make them all fun. When you don't have a little, the few go-tos you might have are winging a huge amount of cookies right in the dog's oncoming dog's face. And they go, oh, what food? And they start to eat, might give you a second to get away. But really there's as many answers as there are questions for that one because everything's a little different.
I remember another tactic that you train in your series that's really good for bigger dogs even, like if you have somewhere where the dog can hop up. Like jump up on a rock, jump up on a ledge or something like that. Something that where the dog can get off the ground, whether it be getting away from a smaller dog or a bigger dog, and you can at least get your dog up there and kind of put yourself in a place where you can protect your dog from the other dog if you need to.
Yeah, I love walking where there's half walls or where there's benches and where there's bank, things they can get as trees they can get on. I love walking there because I know I've got safeties. And I use my body to block the dog. And I can look very much like I'm busy. People won't talk to me if my back is facing them and my head is facing my dog who's up on a half wall. I don't look very available to be spoken to. That's very helpful.
Right. So I guess the things we're going to wrap up on, if anybody has any questions, feel free to answer them down below. And also, Amy, thank you for joining us today. And if you guys want to join her online course or know more about her Facebook page or her website, you can just type the comment down below, Amy, and I'll send it right over to you guys. So it's a really, really simple thing to do. And you can do that right now. And I'm talking right now, but my dog bot has got you guys covered. He's going to send it right over to you. So,
awesome. I also have a seminar schedule. I might be in your town. So look.
So on your website, all that information is there. And that's at playwaydogs.com, correct?
Yeah.
And that's And then also you guys can check out her Facebook page, facebook.com/playwaydogs. Right. But the thing is that I guess for some people, where should they start? Like they're feeling lost. They don't know what direction to go. How should they start their path to getting their dog to be less reactive or managing this reactive behavior?
Yeah. The first thing I teach everybody how to do is to magnet walk, to walk with a cookie magnet. And it's not something I find a lot of people know how to do, even though it's a super simple thing. We don't do it because we seem to progress past it. But a magnet walk is you fill your hand. You don't have one or two cookies. You got a lot of cookies, lots of them.
Right.
And you have
delicious ones that they really, really like.
Really, cookies they really, really like. Hot dogs, cheese, gross things. And I tend to feed them out of the back of my fist here, out of the pinky area of my fist. As you can see, I could put that in front of my dog's face if she were right here, which I can't do.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I got it.
The back of the fist there, because I can just put that right down there in front of the face. And as they're eating out of it, I can be unfurling my hand like this as they're eating all the way up through the fist. Your aim is to get 10 steps. At first, there'll be teeny little steps, eventually 10 walking at a clip kind of steps where your dog has connected to your hand as if it's a magnet. Dog's face is made of steel and you're holding the magnet, whatever it is. And there's no break. So it's not eating, looking up at you, and you're feeding one at a time. Not like that. I've put the whole fist in front of your face and you're just chomping away at it as we walk the whole way. If you can get 10 whole steps with your dog's face busy, fully busy in your fist, you've gotten pretty far out of the zone of reactivity. I know immediately someone is saying, my dog won't eat. He wants to bark at stuff. Yeah, but did you practice it 99 times or however many I'm making that number up on your walk all over the place, all during different parts of your day and different parts of your walk and different parts of your week? Did you practice it a lot? If not, of course, your dog isn't going to try to prioritize food over barking. But a practiced skill is when they drop right into and eating, actively eating, not getting one and then getting a reload and getting one more. Actively eating is a very compelling thing for most dogs. And so once you've gotten your 10 steps, you can probably regroup by grabbing more cookies, look around to see how dire the situation still is or maybe isn't anymore, and then go on with your walk. Magnets allow you to just put your dog's face where it needs to be. If I want my dog to come here, right here and put them right here in the front of my lap so that I can look around and they can't. I want their face eating a bunch of cookies, not one, not good boy. Because if I give one cookie and then I reload, my dog has barked. I need the whole stream of cookies just in their face and they're actively really trying to get at them while I look around to see where I'm going to go. It's not where the management series ends. It's where the management series begins. We build on it from there. But a dog who can walk and be very busy while they do so is a dog you can prevent from looking at the things that might make them upset.
And one of the things that is just get professional help is one of the things I would think is just if you are worried about this and I know there may be somebody locally in your area to help you guys with this, that's great. You know, not without getting too political, you know, when it comes to these behaviors, fighting fear with fear is not necessarily going to be successful. Okay. If it's more likely going to cause more problems. So I want to encourage you guys to avoid using aversive methods to fix these types of behaviors because it doesn't, you know, it just masks the problem and it becomes a band-aid and not actual solving and healing the dog from whatever fears that they have within them.
So. Right. And, you know, adding gasoline to a fire isn't going to help. I don't want to add arousal to an aroused dog. Aside from all of the other reasons I might not want to, you know, use a correction to explain to my dog what they'd like, what I need them to do. It's not very explanatory. And it's unpleasant to feel. You know, a dog who has turned away from you and is already starting to bark at something, or, you know, is planning to, is pulling and is about to do that. If you add a correction to that, even if you are somehow successful, your dog goes, oh God. And yeah, comes along with you, you've added yet another reason they should be upset about the thing that happened. You're adding an emotionally arousing reaction on your part to the emotionally arousing reaction on their part. And that way does not lie resolution of the problem. It just doesn't. You might suppress it for a little bit, but you're not going to get far. It isn't as effective as you feel it is, because it'll feel effective maybe in the beginning for like a minute, and then you'll realize it isn't working. Right. Don't add gasoline to a fire. You want to put it out. You want to get away from there. You want to add cookies and happiness and go. And the more you do that, the faster it all clicks in. Dogs go where reinforcement flows, right? If you are constantly reinforcing, let's walk right past that dog and here's your magnet, let's go, they just start to expect that. And they're much less aroused when it comes the next time.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so thank you so much, Amy. Looking down the questions here, and I don't see anything specific to reactivity or fear behavior, but I see some people that are definitely interested in your program. And what's great about it, from what just to answer someone's question on there, what's great about it that I found was you have different types of levels of impact. Like one of them is to, you could just be like a fly on the wall, but then you can also join the course where you can actually submit videos to you and you actually give comments on the videos. Yeah, so like you can actually film your own dog's behaviors and Amy will help you tackle that. So this is great for those that maybe don't have a local trainer that's not going to just fuel the fire or right, anything like that, right? Yeah, if you want something.
Common, right? I work with people all over the world and, the class has the three levels. The really economical level is you can watch everything happen and you can learn from all the stuff, but you don't engage personally. And that's usually, it's really very affordable. And then there's a level where you can talk to me, but you're not submitting videos, and that's available as well. But the gold level, the top level, is really about the price of having your trainer out twice, your private trainer. Right. Twice or so, or three or one, or, you know, where you live. But either way, it's not the same as having 6 weeks of potentially daily activity with me, with videos back and forth. You send me videos. I help you see what, you know, where you're going to going wrong, how to put your hand, what I want to see next. You could be coached if you wanted to every single day for 6 weeks for the price of having me out once or twice. Right. So, it's such an efficient way to learn. If you're willing to just video what you're doing, it's in your house. You just aim a camera at yourself and upload it to me. No big deal. It's super effective way to learn. And I wrote a blog post on how doubtful I was that anybody could learn dog training this way, or that I could teach dog training this way. I'm like, I don't know. Go read my blog post on it. It's not hard to find because I'm not blogging enough. I really have found it to be actually more effective, and so effective that I wish everybody would work online. I think it's the best bet for your money, because you get so much improvement and so much personal, and you get to keep those videos. They're videos that you made, right, with commentary below. You get to read that over and over again. How many times have you been to a trainer, even myself, go to an agility trainer, and they told me what to do in the moment, and I'm maybe remembering it later, and maybe I'm not perfectly remembering it, but if I had a video of what I did and a written explanation of what she wanted, you can take yourself so much further and you can keep all those writings. So that's why I love teaching online, to my surprise, absolutely to my surprise. I wouldn't think it would work.
That's why I like doing these live streams. I mean, it's just so much, because I do know there are people out there that don't have the resources around them, an actual physical trainer to come help them. And right. I think that's why I love doing these live streamings. I hope you guys appreciate today's live stream. If you did, do share. Please do share this broadcast and let us know if you have anything, any comments or questions for Amy, because it was so great to have you here.
And yeah, I'll join up again. Yeah, I'll tag me in something. I'll write you a response. No problem.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, if you guys, yeah, for sure. Those that are here on Modern Dog Training, you know, one of the things you guys can do is like Amy and just tag Amy and she and any of the posts and things like that. So it's just she's here. She's a great person. I can't count them years we've known each other, but you know.
How are you 30? That's all I have to say is, how, when did you get to be 30? Because that's,
I know. I don't know when that happened. It just, the last decade has been quite the ride. Okay. But it's just great to have you on here. And it was so funny because when I bought the course, because I had a, I have my own little terrier here who had some reactivity. And then I also have some couple students of mine. I was like, you know, this is an area that I, as a trainer, am not as confident in. And I was like, okay, I need to go and study this stuff. And I had the great interview with Fenzi, with Denise Fenzi, and she mentioned this course. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. And I took it. And I was like, oh gosh, it's Amy Cook. So I was like, I know her. So right. And you're just very personal.
We play together. Were we in a show together once?
Yes. Oh gosh. I mean, those have to be somewhere secret. I mean,
I hope they're not. Nobody talk to the people who have the videos of us doing ridiculous.
Now things are just getting interesting. I was like, what videos with Amy and Trevor? Just to clarify, we did some fantastic dog skits for the APDT conference, and it was funny and fun. And I had
to get all got roped into wearing puppy costumes and acting ridiculous, and it was fun. I'm pretty sure we both been in the same one once or twice. So.
Yes, for sure. Especially the Princess Bitch. That was a fun one.
Oh, that's right.
That was my favorite. It's got to be my favorite. So, well, it was my first one, so that was cool. But guys, thanks for joining us. And if you have any questions, once again, feel free to comment Amy. I will definitely send you guys information. And thank you, Amy, for joining us. And be sure to go see her Facebook.com/playwaydogs and playwaydogs.com. So as always, guys, you guys have some fun with your dogs, and we'll see y'all next time.
You just heard the very first Doggy Dojo podcast. Thank you guys for coming here. I am so excited to start this new podcast. I am going to be uploading some great interviews from dog trainers from all over the world. If you have any questions or comments, leave them down below. Please give this a big thumbs up. And as always, guys, have some fun with your dogs, and we'll see y'all very soon. Bye.